This is All Things Considered. I'm Elizabeth Arnold.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. The world is witnessing an oil rush, the likes of which have not been seen since the early years of this century. In the last couple of years, dozens of companies from all over the world have flocked to the newly independent states around the Caspian Sea. The indications are that there are huge, untapped reserves of oil beneath the Caspian. Oil companies have already invested billions of dollars there, although little oil is actually flowing. The region has become the focus of intense geopolitical maneuvering involving Russia, Iran, the U.S., and even China. Today we begin a five-part series on the Caspian Sea and its oil. In our first report, NPR's Mike Schuster examines the region's vast resources.
The Caspian Sea would be the world's largest lake if it did not contain salt water. It is not connected to any of the world's other seas and oceans, and that is at the core of the political riddle the Caspian poses. Just a few years ago, only two nations bordered on the Caspian, the Soviet Union and Iran, and it was best known as the world's foremost source of caviar, the eggs of the Caspian sturgeon. But now there are three new nations bordering the sea, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and Turkmenistan, and all three are busy prospecting for oil and natural gas under the shallow Caspian waters. Just how busy is astonishing. This is a list of the foreign companies involved in the small Republic of Azerbaijan in the Caucasus on the sea's western shore. The speaker is Ilham Aliyev, the head of Azerbaijan's state oil company, at a recent conference in Washington.
Amoco, Unocal, Pennzoil, Exxon, Mobil, Chevron, BP, Statoil, Lukoil, Turkish Petroleum, Itochu, Delta, Ramco, OIEC, Petrofina, Deminex, Total, Elf Aquitaine, AGIP. These are our investors and companies with whom we signed production sharing agreements.
The American names are familiar, but the list includes oil companies from Japan to Brazil, Saudi Arabia to Malaysia. They have so far poured $30 billion into Azerbaijan, another $30 billion into Kazakhstan, and billions more are poised to flow into Turkmenistan as well. What have the oil companies received for their considerable investments? Almost nothing, according to Robert Ebel, an oil expert with the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
The drilling is really just getting underway. And there's only one way to determine whether there's oil and gas in the Caspian, and that's to drill a well. And those drilling programs are just getting underway. We can talk about potential. We can talk about the Caspian Sea holding a potential 200 billion barrels, but the potential and reality are a long ways apart.
Still, oil company executives are enthusiastic about the Caspian's potential. Charles Pittman is president of Amoco Eurasia, which has big investments in Azerbaijan.
In world market terms, the Caspian Basin represents an enormous new resource. Reserves there are estimated to be 100 to 200 billion barrels of oil, which ranks it second to the Middle East. So in market terms, it's a huge opportunity for diversifying supply, certainly to the United States and to the West.
Many experts compare the size of the Caspian's reserves to those of the North Sea, where production is shared by Great Britain and Norway. It does not rival the reserves of the Persian Gulf, where Saudi Arabia alone probably has more oil than the Caspian. But the oil in the Caspian is attractive to oil companies, according to Laurent Rusekis of Cambridge Energy Research Associates, because they can actually own a portion of the reserves.
A lot of the world's oil reserves are still off limits to oil companies. Saudi Arabia is the biggest oil reserve country in the world. That's off limits. Iran and Iraq are currently off limits. And the Caspian is one place where you have big oil and you have large oil fields.
In contrast to most of the oil-producing nations, the arrangements oil companies have hammered out with governments around the Caspian give them a direct stake in the potential oil production there. Chevron is the big operator in the Tengiz oil field in western Kazakhstan at the northeast tip of the Caspian. Tengiz is the largest oil discovery of the last quarter century, and experts compare its potential to that of Prudhoe Bay in Alaska. Chevron has invested billions in Tengiz, but it is exporting only about 100,000 barrels a day. By way of comparison, the United States imports more than 8 million barrels of oil each day. How much are the international oil companies taking out of Azerbaijan? Laurent Rusekis.
Very, very little. A little bit through rail, through Azerbaijan and Georgia. But for the most part, Azerbaijan did not have any access to exports through the Soviet era.
This is the great conundrum of the Caspian Sea oil rush. Oil, oil everywhere, but barely a drop flows out. As long as the nations of the Caspian must rely on rail or truck to transport their crude to markets, It could remain nothing but a footnote to the story of world oil production. The solution is pipelines, and every nation, every company, every expert with anything to say about the Caspian has an idea for a pipeline. A map of the Caspian with all the proposed pipelines looks like a hydra-headed monster, with lines shooting off in all directions, north through Russia, south through Iran, east to China, west through the Caucasus to the Black Sea and Turkey.
Each line has its merits,
says Amoco's Charles Pittman, but each line has its drawbacks as well. The one to Russia runs through war-torn Chechnya. Pipelines through Iran draw the ire of the United States. To China, the distance and expense is enormous. Across Georgia to the Black Sea requires shipping the oil by tanker through the narrow straits of Turkey's Bosporus, arousing concern about oil spills. Charles Pittman would like to see the pipeline run from Azerbaijan across Turkey to the Mediterranean port of Ceyhan.
We as Amoco have stated a preference for the Baku-Ceyhan route if it can be made commercially viable. It has some disadvantages in terms of cost because it's roughly twice as long as the Georgian route. It's preferable because, of course, Turkey is a NATO ally and a close friend of the United States. There are good security reasons for having it run through Turkey.
And so now the story brings us to politics. For each proposed pipeline would cross international borders, and the Caspian region is one of the most conflict-ridden in the world. Just as an example, one of the straightest routes out of the Caspian would run from Azerbaijan west across Armenia to Turkey. But Azerbaijan and Armenia are at odds over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. Nevertheless, Armenia would like to see a pipeline transit its territory, says Ross Vartian of the Armenian Assembly of America.
There is no official announced pipeline route. All of these lines are being studied for strategic possibilities, economic possibilities, and ultimately it's going to be a business decision as to what is the least expensive with the least amount of political risk. Armenia, I would assert, has the least amount of political risk as a transit nation compared to anyone in the region.
It is stated U.S. policy that there should be multiple pipelines out of the Caspian to minimize the risks of any single route and to help the states of the Caspian remain independent from Russia, as long as none of the pipelines goes through Iran. For well-known political reasons, Iran is off-limits as far as the U.S. is concerned, which makes the problem even more complex, says Julia Nane of the Petroleum Finance Company in Washington.
If the U.S. has a policy, which they say they do, that they want to encourage democratic governments and economic growth, and they want to help these countries break free from Russia, then there is absolutely no sense to keep Iran isolated, because, in fact, in order to grow, these countries need to get their oil and gas resources, which are immense, to markets. And if one looks at a map, really the only alternative route out through an area that is not Russian-controlled is really Iran.
This, then, is the story of Caspian Sea oil in broad brushstrokes, a region of great potential oil wealth and thus likely to be the scene of intense rivalry in the years ahead. Mike Schuster, NPR News, New York.